When Christians around the world assemble on the Sunday of the resurrection of the Lord, we are celebrating the great work of our Lord God and Savior on behalf of the crown of his creation, men and women who are created in the image and likeness of God. When the Lord Jesus proclaimed his gospel on the earth, he made disciples and gathered them into his church. And the reason why we know that Christ is risen from the dead is due to the testimony of the first members of the church. In the first reading, we heard the Apostle Peter speaking after Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. And central to his preaching was the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord, and how we find the forgiveness of our sins and freedom from the finality of death, so that we can live as God's beloved children here and now. And when time transitions to eternity, our lives continue to have eternal significance. But it was also proclaimed, first of all, on the first day of the week, on the Sunday in which Jesus rose from the dead. The proclamation of the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord is central to the gospel. It's the Passover of the Lord, and that's where the word paschal comes from. We will hear that a lot in our prayers today and during the Easter season, from today until Pentecost. For newcomers, I like to preach a homily series or preaching series during the Easter season. And the subject of my homily series is proclaim, declare the works of the Lord. It comes from Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm also using this as a subject because our parish is embarking on implementing a pastoral plan of action. We were growing for several years before the pandemic came, and now as we're recovering from the pandemic, we are growing again. And we want to do so to the glory of God for the building up of the church and for the salvation of souls. So over these next several weeks, we want to consider the great works of the Lord. But the greatest work is what we celebrate today. The North African theologian St. Augustine, who lived in the 4th and 5th centuries, is quoted as saying the following: the resurrection of Christ was God's supreme and holy, marvelous work. And it was for our eternal benefit. We heard in the second reading today in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, we have been raised with Christ and our life is hidden in Christ. We are one with him. And that begins through holy baptism. When we become one with Christ, we are risen with him. Last night during the Easter vigil, we heard the reading of St. Paul to the Romans, in which he says, we were indeed buried with Christ through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. We're going to renew our baptismal promises after this homily. We do that in union with Catholics around the world every Easter Sunday. You know, sometimes people think that salvation can be accomplished through a sincere prayer offered once and for all. But salvation is a process. The born-again experience understood by the early church was and is baptism, being born again by water and the Holy Spirit. And then we reaffirm what God is doing within us during the baptismal promises. Because whether we were baptized as infants, teenagers, or adults, baptism is not what we do for God, but what God is doing within us. And so we affirm what God is doing by redeeming us, liberating us from sin and death, reconciling us back to himself, and promoting reconciliation within the human family, and raising us to a new and everlasting life. This is central to the Christian life. This is central to the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. God decided to share in our humanity because God refused to abandon us to the power of sin and death, which came into the world by the abuse of our freedom of choice. But God is resolved to redeem us from all of that. And in response to so great a love, we are resolved to be risen with Christ. Let's look at what St. Paul says to the Romans again. St. Paul said, as to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. When we renew our baptismal promises, we are remembering our identity in God and our inheritance from God. We are resolved to live intentionally as disciples of Christ within his church. That is what St. Paul was talking about in the letter to the Colossians today. That is what he was talking about in his letter to the Romans. And that is what the Word of God has to say to us this day. We are risen with Christ, and we're called to live intentionally as his disciples, here and now. His power is at work within us, his love and his mercy. And he wants us to be signs of his love and mercy in the world, in our network of relationships, in our communities. The gospel reading provides some ways to know if we are living intentionally in this way. And if we're not, we should not get discouraged. God gives the chance to begin anew. Receiving the word of God and striving to live according to it, that's how we know we're living intentionally as a disciple of Christ within his church. In the gospel reading, Mary Magdalene and another Mary approached the tomb. They expected to pay their respects to Jesus. They thought he was still dead. But instead, the angels shared the good news. Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised just as he said. That's why I'm talking about receiving the word of God and striving to live according to it. For just like the other disciples of the Lord, except for the Blessed Mother, the women had listened to Jesus' teaching. They wanted to follow his example. And these women in particular had been at the cross with the Lord. They saw him die and they saw him buried in the tomb. And now they were spending time grieving, which is to be expected. But they had forgotten another part of Jesus' teaching that would have put their grief within a hopeful perspective. The light of divine life has not and will never be extinguished. There are difficult things that may happen in the church, such as what we heard on Spy Wednesday when people betrayed the church. But the light of divine life at work in the church has not and will never be extinguished. And we pray that that divine life continues to bring healing, hope, and justice for those who have been exploited. When we receive the word of God, when we try to practice its message in our lives, it leads us to rendering worship to God. For look at what happened when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary heard the message of the angel. They did not fully understand what the angel was talking about. No one had ever heard about resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, body and soul. They could touch his body. They saw the wounds in his body. They saw him eat after his resurrection. They talked with him. So they were going to be understanding what resurrection meant for Jesus and what did it mean for them. And yet, fearful and but overjoyed, they were willing to walk in faith according to the directions of the word of God given to them through the angel. And as a result, they saw the risen Lord. They approached Jesus. They embraced his feet and did him homage. How do I know I'm living intentionally as a disciple of Christ within his church? I'm receiving the word of God. I'm striving to live according to it, and it leads me to worship God. The Lord has given us the sacraments so that we can have tangible encounters with him. We have not seen his body. We haven't seen him face to face. But he wants us to believe that he truly is acting in these sacraments that he instituted and entrusted to his church. He wants us to receive the word of God about that and render worship to him. The grace of God is given using tangible signs so that through those signs we may come in real contact with the living God. Over the next several years, the bishops of the United States have called us to a Eucharistic revival. That's the exact term, Eucharistic revival. So that we may once again be in awe and wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit and his words, transforms bread and wine totally into his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. What appears to be bread and wine is now in actuality his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. The God who created the universe out of nothing, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, certainly has power to change bread and wine into his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. And when we believe that, when we accept the word of the Lord, we may not totally understand it, but as we continue to receive the word of God and strive to live according to it, we render worship to God and our understanding of what is happening will deepen. But we have to open ourselves to God. We have to look at worship from the right perspective. Worship is not God entertain me through the people you call to lead in worship. It is God, I've come to you to thank you for favor after favor after favor, including the forgiveness of my sins and everlasting life. And I can never thank you, God, enough. It's the attitude we bring to worship that helps us to understand that we can never be bored to hear about what the Lord continues to do and is doing in the lives of those who wish to receive it. Nourished with divine life, we do not have to give in to any fears about life's uncertainties. Because we have this certainty, God is always with us, working things out for our good. Even at the hour of our death, God is with us. As Mary Magdalene and Mary were walking in faith to the apostles, they were given this blessed assurance. And they were receiving the word of God and rendering worship to God. They were strengthened in their resolve to be witnesses to God. That's why we're here today. They were fearful, yet overjoyed, but they walked in faith to communicate, to proclaim the works of the Lord, the greatest work, the resurrection of Christ. And Christ continues to call men and women, boys and girls, to follow him within the context of a community. To be a Christian is to be a member of his church. And through holy baptism, we have been born into this family of faith. And together we encourage each other to rejoice that the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ is our victory. So not only does Easter Sunday celebrate what Christ has done and is doing, we celebrate that in union with Christ, we have this victory that cannot be taken away by anyone else unless we want to relinquish it. And therefore, it's important to proclaim the works of the Lord. If you are not a member of any parish, I invite you to prayerfully consider joining Holy Family Parish. And you could do so formally through parish registration. The forms are near the holy water fonts here in the nave of the church or on the narthex table near the crucifix and the vigil lights. But in any parish, we're striving to help people to believe in Christ, to belong to his church, and to bless our communities. We want to take the word of God and see how it applies to our daily lives. And we didn't have to wait till Easter to talk about the effects of this victory of our Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. For we know that we can overcome temptation to sin. But if temptation overcomes us, Christ forgives us of our sins when we repent. And therefore, we can overcome any fears of failing as Christian disciples. For if we hold on to this fear, it will lead us to a sorrowful complacency that defines our lives with procrastination, kind of doing things here and there in the Christian life, wishing we could do more, but kind of in a procrastination state rather than acting with intentionality in response to the great love that our God has for us. We're risen with Christ, and we're risen with him through baptism. And it's not just a past event, but an ongoing reality. And our lives do not have to be on a standstill on the journey of faith. Receiving the word of God, rendering worship to God, will help us to move forward, even if we wrestle with painful experiences of our past. Christ helps us to overcome it. That's what our parish learned about during the Lenten season. It will also help us to overcome any opposition to practicing our faith. Because when we resolve to live as Christ wants us to live, as we renew our baptismal promises, there will be people who will affirm what we have done, but there will be people who will reject what we have done. And yet our faith continues to make us stronger, because the only thing that will matter when we breathe our last here on earth is our trust in the faithfulness of God, who has called us into a relationship with himself. These are just some of the benefits of being risen with Christ. And we want to proclaim it, not only by our lips, but how we live. We want to declare the wonderful, marvelous works of the Lord. We're here today because the first Christians did that. They leave a legacy. They want us to experience salvation in Christ. They want us to join them in heaven with Christ. And so, as we renew our baptismal promises today, let this be the opportunity once again to affirm, yes, indeed, Jesus is risen from the dead. He died for me. He rose for me. He called me to follow him within his church. And whatever circumstance that I am in, whether I'm strong in my faith or struggling with my faith or somewhere in between, I trust in the God who gives me another chance, and I will leave this church resolved to live intentionally as a disciple of Christ within his church. And if I don't have a parish home, I am resolved that I'm going to join a parish and help to promote the gospel of Christ, to proclaim it, to receive that word, to worship the Lord, to witness to him. That's how succeeding generations will come to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. If we do that, just like those first Christians who had their strengths and their weaknesses, and yet their testimony has drawn us to this altar today, our testimony will draw countless others to the altars in the decades to come, because we have decided that we are resolved to be risen with Christ, and that it has an effect here and now. But when we exchange time for eternity, we have this certainty. Christ has destroyed the finality of death and opened the path to eternity, as we prayed in the opening prayer of the collect today. And therefore, even as we breathe our lives here on earth, we can still say, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord.